girls messaging me on a daily basis, like asking me, for example, hey Nabila, what shoe do you think works for this dress? Yeah. And I'm like, I could.
Oh my gosh, you people DM me that. That is so. Actually, why am I even shocked? Because I literally do that to you also. Today, I'm speaking to married influencer couple Nabila Karim and Suleiman Peck. We get into the nitty-gritty of their business and how their social media profile works. Today, we have my really good friends and awesome influencer manager, I'm going to call him, Nabila and Suleiman Peck. You may know Nabila from her Instagram profile at Nabila Karim. But what you don't know is that her husband, Suleiman, really works alongside her and helps her to kind of make the magic happen. So the conversation we want to have with you guys today is just how that dynamic works. And like, you know, I think people really want to know, Nabila, what goes on behind your profile, because your content is so
curated.
Strong. Mm. I wouldn't even say curated. It's like a fashion magazine.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's the intention behind it, right?
No, that definitely is the intention. I didn't even say hi. Hi, everybody. Hi. Suleiman's here as well.
Hi, Aisha.
So our intention is to keep it as high quality as possible and to keep it as like away from our personal life as possible.
Oh, okay. So when you say away from your personal life, what do you mean exactly?
Yeah, I try to keep my friends and family and just like my personal life in general. Like even Suleiman, even though he helps me with my social media so much, we barely put him on there. Like people know that I'm married, but they don't know who Suleiman is, if you know what I mean. They see his face now and then.
Yeah.
But I try to keep it like that, because I always see like when bad things happen or there's like a scandal or something, people immediately go to that people's like friends and family and husband and start commenting on that. They like on their social medias and things like that. So I don't really want that to like start affecting my business, because this is my business, if you know what I mean.
Yes, that makes business. Sense. Yeah. Suleiman, I want to ask you, how does it feel, you know, to be on the back end of, because a lot of people would maybe think that, oh, shame, he's like, doesn't get to keep being in pictures. But how do you feel?
Me.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I like, even coming here, when she posts me on the stories, like, I think because I never got used to it.
Yeah.
It's so much anxiety, like, doing, like, my whole career is focused on making content for like mass public, but not when it involves me. See, when it involves me, I start thinking about my own role in it. I'm not objectively viewing it anymore. So with Nabila, what was like the best thing ever was that I had someone almost as close to me as myself, but without it being me.
It's almost like having like a product that you're promoting in a way, like she's the product.
Yeah, and it's with me all the time, and I just never have to worry about myself. So I can always think about, what does the audience think? How does the public perceive this?
So almost removing it from yourself or your relationship as a couple almost.
We try, like, obviously, us working together from... This basically started when we got married, like coming back.
Okay, wait. Take us all the way back. So you said it started when you got married, but how did you meet?
So Nabila and I, we followed each other on Instagram.
Okay.
and then like a week later, she DM'd me to say she saw me out like somewhere, and we started talking. I like tried to play a cool message the next morning.
Yeah.
And then we chatted for like 2 days straight. And then, wow, am I really telling the story? Should I tell the story?
Tell the story.
Okay, the Monday morning, what I would usually do at this point was like, after chatting to a girl for the whole weekend, was like, go pick her up.
Yeah,
find out, like, are you done with university right now? Can I come pick you up? Can we like chill? And we had that conversation, and I was like about to leave. And for some, we were both in this like space, like in our dean, especially where I didn't want to date anymore. I wanted to get married properly, and so did she. But that's...
How old were you?
I just turned 21 when we met.
I think I was 23 or 24. I don't exactly remember.
Oh, so you're about 3 years older than her-ish.
Yeah. And at the time, like I said, we didn't want to date. We both coincidentally just wanted to like get married this very like proper Islamic way.
Oh, and, cool.
Yeah, but
it's weird finding someone like that, because at the time no one was thinking that way, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
There were like a handful of people, but people
your age group specifically.
Exactly. And even my parents, it was very new to them to just like meet someone and they want to get married to them immediately.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, and so we just
How long did you date Slammer?
No, so that Monday before I went to go pick her up from university, I was like, should we not do this? We just not meet? And she immediately knew what I was talking about. A week later, we met with our parents in a mosque with a sheikh. The following week, we got engaged. 6 months later, we got married.
Oh my word.
And it was all easy. But that's basically when we start the social media.
Yeah.
Because at the time, before I met Suleiman, I was kind of biggish on social media. I don't know if you remember me back then.
I had a
blog before like my hijab days and things like that. And then I started wearing hijab.
I started following you like way before you were in hijab, I think. Following you.
Yeah, I modeled for one of your events.
Yes.
That was before hijab.
Yes. Yeah. I knew of you through a friend of mine. And I was like, oh, this girl looks like a model. Because I instantly thought that.
I wanted to be a model so badly.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You actually have like a very model-esque look. And in that stage of my career in fashion, I was like, obviously, always like interested in people who looked like models who looked fashionable, whatever. So I like almost scouted in my mind, like, oh, this person should be signed and this, like,
Anyway, but then the blog wasn't really working out for me. And then Ramadan hit, and you know, like, we all get super inspired to wear hijab during Ramadan and things like that. And in that Ramadan, for some reason, my hijab just stuck.
Okay.
And then I started posting pictures with my hijab, and I think my Eid picture went viral, basically.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, I actually enjoy doing this, and I continued.
It was like almost like a positive reinforcement that people were like appreciating your journey in a way.
Yeah, no, definitely. And still, like, I still feel like because of social media, that also helped me keep my hijab on.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Because you're like accountable to like all these people.
Exactly, it's such a big responsibility.
Yeah.
But yeah, Suleiman and I met when I was on like 8,000 followers. And then he told me before we got married, he was like, so listen, either you're going to continue this or like we're going to do it properly. You're going to continue or you're going to delete your account. And I was like, of course I want to do it properly. What do you mean? And that's basically where it all started.
So Suleiman, what was the rationale behind like saying, you know, either do it full on or delete the account?
Because so at the time I was very... a lot of this had to do with Deen. Like, I was.
And for those who don't know, Deen means religious.
Yeah, this idea of getting married was, especially none of my friends were married.
Okay, well,
like,
really?
Yeah,
this
idea of doing it felt like so much responsibility.
Yeah.
And something I had to consider was my wife being on the internet and posting pictures of herself. That was I wasn't even going to ignore that. That was a huge consideration. And I was, when it's just for like this, like if it's for no reason or for the sake of attention, it's not something I would have ever been like okay with.
You would have gotten bored with it.
Yeah, like, and so we had this, so remember I said we took 6 months to get married. Our parents basically were like, you can't get, we were like, we're going to get married next week.
Oh,
and they were just like, no, that's not going to happen. You're doing the weddings, you're doing everything. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
And so in those 6 months, like we chat on the phone and I'd be like, So what are we doing with this Instagram thing here? I don't know how I feel about it. Yeah, what's the purpose of like, because it's 8,000 at the time was like, that's, have you ever seen 8,000 people at once? That's a lot of people.
Maybe.
That's like 8 schools. And I was like, you can't just like casually post things for like 8 schools worth of people. Like,
I never think about it. Like someone once told me, you know, the amount of followers you have on social media is like the Cape Town Stadium or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's so weird to think of that concept.
And you casually just post content like to it whenever, right? And so I didn't know about that, but at the time I was running a tutoring company. Like,
okay.
I started this company in university. I had like 10 to 15 tutors out like when they matriculated from high school.
Yeah.
And the company was going. Each of them had like one or two students.
What did you study?
I was doing business science, finance, accounting.
Oh, that's how I know you.
At the time while running this company.
Yeah. I studied business science marketing, so that's probably where I knew you from. Although I think I met you in the cafeteria.
I was a fan. I was a fake.
I know you were a fan. It was so funny.
Yeah, and so
first like guy fan to ever come up to me was Suleiman.
I've been into this digital marketing thing for like super long. Yeah. Anyway, so when she I asked Nabila what she wanted to do with her life, right? Because I was doing Enlighten Me. That was the name of the company.
Okay.
And I was like, this takes up every second. Like, you're not going to have much husband time. I hope you know that marrying an entrepreneur, like, that's just how it goes.
Yeah.
And then she's like, no, but I also want to be an entrepreneur. I want to do a clothing company.
Oh, cool.
And I was just like, whoa, that's not going to, you don't get it. Like, we won't see each other.
Mm.
Us running different companies. That, like, our marriage won't work. Like, that's just crazy. Like, I don't know how we'd manage that. The only solution it felt was to do one.
Okay, like, I'm going to leave my company and we both
do yours, or do you come to... But she was so talented and like...
Yeah.
and so I was...
This is cute.
And so we were just like, we're going to do this clothing. We're going to do this modest fashion thing. We didn't really know where in the space, but what was like back then in 2016, the way to start a company was to grow digitally first. First grow an audience.
Yeah, and
talk
then,
about something, become some sort of thought leader.
I think it's still sort of in that sphere.
Right?
Nabila, what did you feel like, did you feel like there was a business opportunity at the time, or were you more feeling like you wanted to build an audience to start your clothing range? Or?
Yeah, I think for me it was more to start my clothing range, because at the time I was studying fashion design.
Yeah.
So majority of what I was posting was like fashion design related things. I don't know if you remember.
Your sketches.
Modest
and stuff.
Designs and all those. And this that's definitely still on the books.
Good dream,
like, I feel like that's where that's my dream, to start like a clothing company. So that definitely.
So when did you decide that like the social media thing was a business opportunity? Was it Suleiman's influence? Or?
It's definitely Suleiman's influence. So, I'm not gonna lie, I definitely did when I started. I definitely knew that
people earn money from this.
Yeah, definitely, and I knew that getting my name out there would be amazing for like the being in the fashion industry in general. Yeah. But I just didn't think it would get to this point.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean?
Suleiman, when was the moment for you when you were like, Nabila, this is a business. Like, let's run this like a business.
To be honest, before we started. So, okay. Like, leading up, like, 2 months before we got married, I'm like, I'm about to close down. I'm not done with UCT. I've got like a course left, which I'm not planning on doing anytime soon. So no degree.
Mm.
I'm about to close down this company I spent the last 2 years working on.
Yeah.
And I'm about to get married and have all these responsibilities.
Yeah.
So it was like preempted. Like I had, before we got married, I had created like Excel spreadsheets of the top 100 modest fashion bloggers in the world and why they were the top.
Okay.
The top South African bloggers
so
in the world.
So you like sort of applied what you learned at university.
Yeah, I studied like the whole thing. I was like, okay, so how are we going to do this? Do we need to post every day? Like, where are we going to get the clothes? Where are we going to get the photographers?
And you know, it's so funny. Like people always, when they want to become like influencers, they always, like people will email me and say like, what did you study? And like, what should I study? And I always say that like anything you study will help you when you're trying to create your own business, whether that's as an influencer, because it almost broadens your mind. So like with you, you were able to do that research because of, maybe you won't agree or you will agree, but because of what you were studying.
Definitely.
And your focus just wasn't there on your studies maybe, but then if you shifted that focus that you've already developed in your studies, you could like really make this work. So you kind of studied everything and did what you would have done in your finance course basically.
It seemed like a good idea in a space where like these girls just weren't that aggressive.
Okay.
I was especially remember I was like, I started off looking at the modest fashion space and immediately was like, Nabila being the biggest hijab in South Africa isn't going to really realize these goals. It's going to be a lot of opportunity, but in terms of what we wanted to do, which we can get into later, like the purpose behind all of it, was very much the, we wanted to win internationally.
Yeah.
Dina Tokyo and Asia, and those were the like the goals from the beginning.
Yeah.
From like right, like before we even got married, I was like, when we start this, we're going to go for the top and we're going to go harder like than anyone's doing it, because on social media there's so much content of like, it's hard to sometimes figure out how to break through.
I know, it's like flooded with content,
but a tried and tested way to break through is to find a niche and create the best content in that niche.
There's
almost definitely gonna work, like the highest quality like modest fashion videos. It might not be the most relatable account, but it's almost definitely gonna work.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, just come in with a, like a lot more effort and and consistency, and I guess.
Curated more. Nabila, with you, I know that Suleiman does all the like sort of research and analytical thinking, if you will, based on, you know, what he studied and having his experience with starting his business. But I know you, the more creative force behind the brand.
Yeah, I like to think so.
You know, you definitely are. I can definitely see he takes the lead when it comes to, you know, creating the content.
Yeah.
He takes the lead of organizing it. But well, I know that you guys have spoken to me about this before, where Suleiman will be like, he has a budget on what clothing you're allowed to buy. And you're like, oh, I just want to keep it all, or like whatever.
Yeah.
So what is the creative process for you developing like a single content piece that is so like powerful and poignant and noticeable on social media? So when you're scrolling on a social media, we don't skip your content. We just like, oh, whoa, this is like kind of shocked us. So what is that process that you go through?
Actually, the fact that you said it's shocking is a good thing, because that's what we go for. We kind of go for like the shock factor.
Yeah.
Because in a world where there's so much going on social media, you kind of have to stand out. So we're like, what can set us apart now? Because now, like when we started back in the day, we were one of the only people that were making like high quality content, and then everyone jumped on that bandwagon because they saw it was working so well. So we like, well, now that everyone's there, how do we like set ourselves apart? And I think that shock factor kind of, it works.
It like for you, I want to know, do you sit and make like a collage of like what do you want to do? I want to know that detail. So, like, where do you go? Do you go to exclusive books and get like a bunch of Vogue magazines, or like what is your process exactly?
Yeah, no. So I'm super into fashion, obviously. So I follow all things fashion. Instagram, Pinterest, everywhere, magazines, YouTube. If you go on my YouTube, it'll be flooded with like anything fashion. Yeah, I like constantly watch.
I love seeing what people's YouTubes are like.
It's fashion and makeup, basically.
Yeah.
And home decor recently. But yeah, so I usually, what we like to do is like look at specific trends that I think I like, or that I think my followers will like, for example. And then kind of take that trend and be like, okay, so this is what we're going to focus on this month, for example. So Suleiman will tell me, Nabila, I really see the trend with the laces going up your jeans. Yeah. Like, that's a trend. He's like, focus on that. And then I'll go in and focus on that. Or he'll tell me, like, we need like a formal outfit. We need a big moment. We need a casual outfit. And then I'll go and I'll be like, these are the trends this month. These are the colors that's working. This is what's happening. And then I kind of like pull outfits around that.
Yeah.
And then everything else kind of like forms around the outfit, because the fashion is the basis of our account.
Yeah.
So then we have a makeup artist, Nabila, as well. I love her. You work with her.
Just, I love Nabila. Just plug her Instagram
there. NK Artist Pro. She changed the handle. But Nabila's been someone who really understands me and my style and my face, most importantly. Yeah. So when I show Nabila an outfit, she'll know exactly what type of makeup
to
pair with that. Or we'll kind of like talk and be like, no, I like this, I like that. And then after the fact of the fashion and the makeup, we'll decide where to shoot it, like what story works with the outfit, etc.
And I can tell when you're talking about putting the shot together, like it's almost like you peak. Like your passion comes out and you're like, you're so excited to talk about the process. Do you feel that, you know, that's an opportunity for you later on to go into?
No, definitely. There's a few things that's been on the drawing board that Suleiman and I have been thinking about, apart from social media, because you know the social media bubble is going to burst at some point. And there's a lot of things we want to do. It's just trying to navigate how to do it and how to get myself from being an influencer to, example, like styling people online or something like that.
But doing something where you can sort of use your passion to expand your business, in other words.
Exactly. Because I get girls messaging me on a daily basis, like asking me, for example, hey Nabila, what shoe do you think works with this dress? And I'm like, I could,
oh my gosh, people DM me that is so, actually, why am I even shocked, because I literally do that to you also. Like the other day I was shooting Ramadan content already, because I don't like to work during Ramadan. So I was like, oh, I need to look for an outfit. So I went, because my process is going on Pinterest, I make like a little mood board for whoever's shooting. So it will be like, I'll put my assistant on the mood board and she'll send it to the photographer or whatever. And as I'm making this mood, I'm like, modest fashion, modest influencers, like searching all the stuff. And your face came up, and then this one outfit of yours that I freaking love came up. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to flip in, do a shout out, and actually copy this whole look and actually say that I'm copying it. Aww. Because I feel like as an industry and a community, we have to kind of plug each other as well.
Definitely.
And like, I love that look. Why not wear it, you know? Yeah. And it shows... Also, for me, it's a little tactical in a way because it shows my audience that I'm relatable and I also follow this person. Like, I'm not a modest influencer, but when it comes to Ramadan, I'm not on your page. Yeah. Like, I need tips and I look cute.
Yeah, it is important for us to, like, recognize each other and recognize what we do, because I definitely see it, like, this happening a lot in the industry. It's like, you'll do something and then people will just, like, copy it blindly and not give you the... Not that I want the credit, but, like... You kind of have to give credit to the industry, you know?
As small as this, you have to give props, especially when, you know, the odds are against us with the economy and everything else. Like, if you just give props to the other person, like, that for me is a bit of, like, female empowerment.
Exactly.
Like, if we bab each other's backs, you don't have to, like... I think competition's super important and it's great to be competitive. And I always admire, you know, people like my husband who has a competitive career, how he can, like, be competitive with his teammates. In other words, like, there's so many fast bowlers in the team. They're actually essentially competing for a position, but they're still friends at the end of the day. And I feel like as women, we need to get to that point, you know?
Can I say that, I remember our growth so well. One day we were at Rizka Barnes's house editing pictures. She used to shoot for us for free. That's how, like, we started. Like, it is.
That was dope content, though.
it was crazy. And we're at Riz's house and we go on Instagram and we realize Aisha just posted Nabila, but not like a picture with Nabila. On her feed, she posted a picture of just Nabila. And the caption literally was, "Go follow this girl right now. She's amazing." And we were on like 16,000 followers.
Yeah.
And we gained 3,000 before the end of the day. Do you know how crazy that is?
But I tried to, like, even do that. I know, like, I get a lot of shit in the industry because, like, you know, people maybe feel I'm not doing enough. I tried to help as much as I can. But when I feel, like, really inspired by someone's work, I'm like, I have to give props. Obviously, now we have stories and stuff, but that time we didn't have stories. So it's like a feed post was like what you're going to get. Actually, stories probably have more reach.
But it was genuine. Like,
it was. It felt like I saw this outfit and I was like, are you joking? Like, how does this girl only have 16,000 followers? Like, everyone needs to go and, like, immediately support this person. And then, obviously, I knew you from before. And I'm like, I saw that evolution of your style as well. Because I felt like you were there on the cusp, like, before you got married. You were, like, kind of feeling out your fashion sense. And then, like, out of nowhere, you just, like, you were, like, owned it almost, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I also feel like in the beginning, I was trying to find my style. Because you remember I just started wearing hijab. So I was also trying to figure out, like, my style while still being modest. So that's basically, like, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think, like, modest fashion is so tricky because, like, and people don't get this, especially if they don't engage in it much. But, like, I try and be modestly fashionable in Ramadan. And I think creating a look that is so impactful.
Yeah.
And you look good every day. Like, I know you. So I've been on a trip with Nabila where we were just, like, chilling in Joburg. And she, like, wore bucket hat. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, she looks so freaking stylish. Like, if any of your followers walked up to you in that moment, they'd be like, oh, she's exactly who she is online. Because you do love fashion and it really comes through. And I think we kind of need that inspiration as a community, as a Muslim community. Even though I'm not specifically a hijabi, I think, like, I need that person to look to that's like, oh, this is how you'd style it. Like, this is how I don't look frumpy. Like, at the end of the day, I don't want to look like a mochi. I'm only 20, 30 or whatever, you know?
It's so interesting, like, that you said that now. Sorry, I just thought about this. That's, like, the basis of the content.
Yeah.
Like, it looks nice, like, looks like a magazine because we want to feel like a magazine. Yeah. Like, all of that, but at the core, why people like it, and this is just the truth, is she, like, uncovers or, like, unlocks how to do the modest thing cool. So these girls who want to be modest, but they don't have media. Vogue's not making content for them.
Yeah.
Bazaar's not making content for them. Like, yeah, now, like, a few, they'll put Alima in the editorial, but you're not really making content, like, how to wear those jeans from Cotton On modestly.
Like accessible fashion for
and
you.
And so people doing that, just that value-adding part of showing girls who want to dress modestly how to do it, not just... Well, because they never really copy Nabila, they take pieces.
Yeah, they take what suits them and their shape.
It's that confidence of how, like, showing them that you can do it and be super confident.
Yeah.
That you can do it and be super successful. So, like, when they see Nabila at, like, fashion weeks and working with brands, they're like,
oh, out
I,
people
I can
are
work
doing
your job
this.
And do
yes,
that. And
that's
then
important.
And then literally showing them how to like tie the scarf and wrap this and put that over. It's the value added part of it was no one was doing it. Like we wouldn't have worked if Cosmo had a hijab. Cosmo would we would have no
there
space.
There would be no need for you guys. Yeah.
That ends part one of our super interesting discussion with Nabila and Suleiman. Subscribe to our podcast and look out for part two, where we get into more of the business side of things with this entrepreneurial couple. Follow me at Baked Online and share this podcast if you enjoyed it. Bye for now.
This is a POC podcast
powered by Blue Blood.